You're listening into KATE 1450. We're talking sports as we do every single 3 o'clock hour during the week. Alongside Jeff Dress, I'm Nate Dickinson, as we continue to talk to people from around the area who have been around in sports in Albert Lea in the past and have them tell their stories. Jeff joins us here to take his turn. And Jeff, before we get into your sports story, I got to ask, as I've been asking everyone, what have you been up to during this time where there's no sports going on, whether you're really active in sports still now or not? Everyone who's been active still keeps an eye on it and is still watching games usually during, well, pretty much any time of the year. Now that there's nothing going on during that 7 to 10 p.m. time slot, how are you filling the void?
Well, like many, watching all the replays on ESPN and whatnot. I mean, some old NBA games and finals. And, during the month of March, there's all the past NCAA March Madness games and championships and whatnot. And a lot of that right down to watching replays of the Masters as well, right? So that's kind of in old boxing fights. I mean, back in the day when boxing was real. I mean, and some really good bouts. So that, all that stuff. So we've been doing some of that around the house.
Yeah, that has been a lot of fun, especially someone younger like me. I'm only 24. Being able to actually like go in and watch the full game replays, you know, you see the highlights and you go online and you watch the videos, but being able to actually sit down and watch some of those old games that you know about, it's a really good time to be able to do all that, although it's been more than a month now, so I'd say we could get back to the real stuff sometime soon, you know.
I'm with you. Let's go.
All right, Jeff. Well, let's go right into your story and start with us at the beginning. You played basketball here in Albert Lea. I just want to know a little bit more about you earlier on in the younger days. When did you first start getting involved in sports? What were your first kind of introductions into the sports world?
Well, you know, my dad having a football background and playing it through college as well and stuff, for whatever reason, we kind of leaned towards the basketball end of it. My brother was one grade ahead of me. He was a year and a half older, but like I said, graduated 1 year ahead of me. But because of his height and everything, he really got into basketball early on. He was 6 foot in sixth grade, and basketball was his thing. And I took a liking to basketball as well. But, man, we started this stuff back when they had what they called the YBA or YMCA League. And I think, I want to tell you, it was the second, third grade type of thing is our first introduction to, you know, organized basketball of any sorts. That's what we did before we got into the elementary school ball.
You mentioned your dad was a football coach. Did that kind of football coach in him come out at all in the parenting throughout the?
Oh, and I'm sorry. No, he wasn't a coach.
Player. I'm sorry. No, you said that right. That's my bad.
Through the collegiate level. Yes, he played it. So yeah, he was heavy into football, but he had no problem with us playing basketball. And he actually liked the game of basketball even as much or better once we got into it. He didn't have any problem with us not playing football.
And you mentioned your brother was a really tall guy early on. Did you have that kind of a growth spurt too?
No, I never got that.
Were you expecting to?
No, I don't know. Not necessarily. But it sure made it fun when we go down to the parks, all the city parks all the time, and playing against each other and having to play against all his buddies and older friends. And, you know, the competition was always tough. We always had a lot of fun with our playground games.
What kind of competitive spirit did that kind of thing give you? There's always that classic story of, like, the big brother beating up on the little brother when they're starting growing up, and then who knows, maybe when you get older and then the little brother is able to catch up a little bit. Was there ever that kind of a mentality there?
Oh, we had some of that for sure. It was funny because later on, once we got out of high school and all that stuff and that, we went on and we played with different teams together, whether it was city leagues and church leagues and whatever and that. So then the bond was pretty tight, playing and defending, each other at any time when anybody was, giving you a hard time and whatnot. But, there's times I played with them and times I played against them growing up. And, of course, when you played against them, you just kind of fired that up all the more. And, it was that much more of a struggle for me because I was so much shorter and more round as well.
Well, let's take a little bit of a walk through the timeline here, Jeff. When you first get started, you mentioned basketball was something that your older brother played in and you got involved in, too. What did you end up doing in sports all the way up through high school, I guess, as far as what you were involved in, other things you tried out and stuff like that. And why was it right. that basketball ended up staying that thing that was the main focus for you?
You know, being in the town of Elberly and having just one high school, because out where I live now, my goodness, we got, you know, I kid you not, there's 7-8 high schools here. So, I mean, our camaraderie and our team continuity and whatnot was so heavy, having, you know, one group, one high school and that. And I mean, tell you, it was that's what made that special for me, and it was just the one I liked. I mean, I went through middle school having given a shot to football. I had Osgood Slaughter as a knee issue, and, you know, the doctors told me you can do what you want, but, you know, there's that chance with the right hit, this or that, you know, you could stunt the growth of the leg and deal with that the rest of your life and whatever. It's like, eh, you know, I like it, but I don't like it that well, so I'm out. And did a little bit of track stuff, you know, with weight stuff, and that was just okay. But no, basketball was the fun, and the group of people I was involved with basketball was outstanding, and incredible friends. And I mean, we did stuff year round together. I mean, we were a team on the court and off the court. That's just what we did.
Now, who are you learning under at the high school level, coaching?
Who was okay? So my coach. Well, early on, elementary school, we can go back to that. Denny Costinson, and at the Lakeview school area, and then went on into the middle school, and that was Doug Christofferson. Mr. Christofferson was our coach there, and then once we got into the varsity level, we had Ori Jurley.
So tell us a little more about Ori Jurley. We've had a couple of different people who ended up learning under him, and I've always been interested just when you come across those guys who were in just direct mentorship, I guess, underneath those people who have their names named after them on the court or the field, whether it be Jim Gustafson or Ori Jurley. What was it about him that made him the guy that, you know, you name a basketball court after?
His intensity. He was, you know, extremely intense, very much a teacher and instructor of the game, and tried to simplify it as much down. He always told us, you know, we make this game a lot harder than it is. And there's no need for that. And his competitive spirit in that. And, I mean, when the game was on, the game was on. And when it was over, it was over. And win, lose, or draw, that was the guy he was. But what he taught me, you know, about the whole program and basketball and the love for the game that I developed under him as well, it's just something that you always want to try to give back. It's an incredible game, and what it does for people and kids, parents, and everything alike, and is truly a gift. And a person, you have to pay that forward, man. You gotta be involved and help give back. And like I said, he was just a great person, a great friend, great instructor, just a wonderful human being, and very, very caring and very giving.
How important was that for you when you mentioned the balance that he has between, as you put it, being able to say when the game's on, it's on, and when it's done, it's done? How important is that to, especially at a high school level, being able to have a coach who understands where those lines are and can build those relationships with people without being the coach all the time?
Oh, it's lifelong lessons. It's incredible. Like I said, I always go back to things that Coach said or did, and the fun times we had and the joking we had, too. I mean, you know, like I said, win, lose, or draw. I mean, you know, definitely some of the losses were obviously extremely painful. But, you know, here again, it's stuff that you do, like, you know, coaching my kids or telling my kids when he's done with the game, you know, we sit down and I tell him, now, you know, you want me to be your best critic, I said, I will. I'm going to tell you, you know, what I thought could have been better or what you could have done better or worked harder at, but I'm also going to tell you, you know, what you did very well, and then we're going to be done with this and we're moving on. You know, we're going to go practice what we have to practice. We're going to, you know, move on to the next game and the next practice, and we're going to go from there. But we're not going to sit here and dwell on this thing, but this is what I see that, you know, we could have done better or worked harder at, and this is what I can see that you did very well at. You know what I mean? And then, like I said, then we're done.
Do you have a favorite memory from those stories and the laughs and things like that you mentioned from when you were playing back in high school, whether it's with Ori or just with the team in general?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, that could go on for literally hours. I mean, between the team members, my friends, to, like I said, the coaching, the stories and stuff with that and whatnot. But I don't know, you know, probably we had some real successful programs back then, and our winning percentages were very good and whatnot. I go to my senior year. We come in my senior year, and we're a team that's supposed to be just, you know, subpar. We graduated a bunch of seniors. We did not have any returning starters virtually at all. Some couple people had some playing time and whatnot, but we come in my senior year and lost our first non-conference game to Woodbury, a team that went on and did quite well that year, and they were, you know, up around the metro area. And then we won 14 games in a row. And it was exciting. It was incredible. And we had a game, home game against Owatonna, which was huge. The fire marshal was there, and they were watching the limits on the amount of people that were in the gym. The place was a packed house. It was just an incredible voyage. I mean, to be able to come back and be a team that nobody thought anything of or knew anything was, and to come back and do that was a kick. I mean, it was, you know, all of a sudden we became from the underdog to the guy with the target on our back. You know, we were, you know, you start winning 5, 6, 7 games in a row, and then all of a sudden you start taking notice, and then you kick up to 14, and that was pretty crazy.
Did you feel like that team was underestimated just with, I mean, you mentioned you didn't have any returning starters and all that. How'd that chip on the shoulder kind of drive you?
Oh, it did. And, I mean, you know, we had a kid, Joe Kenneth, between his junior and senior year, he was a senior with me as well. He grew probably whatever 6 inches in the off season, and that summer going into our senior year, he barely played much JV ball as a junior, and liked the game. And he came to me and says, "I want to play. I want to start." It's like, okay. Well, in the meantime, he's growing, but he hadn't grown that much. So we played. We would go out and we'd practice and work out and do stuff, and then we'd play one-on-one all the time out in my folks' driveway that year before our senior year. And it was so funny because he kept growing and just kept getting better. And, you know, we lived right there by the lake, and we'd play our games. And, I mean, early on, I'd beat him every game, you know. And then he'd start to catch up, and it'd be about a 50-50 deal. Then it was getting to be where he was getting the edge and I was getting upset. But, I mean, going on, the kid had a heck of a temper. And he'd get mad, and he'd kick the ball into the lake, and then he'd have to swim into the lake to go get the ball so we could keep playing. He comes back, and, you know, his senior year, he's, you know, whatever, 6'7", and he's a starting center for us. And, you know, of course, this kid came out of nowhere, so that was a surprise to the rest of the conference as well. And then, of course, we had some juniors starting. Paul Woodside had a guard with us, and Dave Long is a senior, and Justa Ginga, and myself and Joel Kenneth, and we had a lot of fun and sure surprised a lot of people.
I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier, Jeff, about how when you were here, it was just the one Albert Lee City and the one school team. Obviously, it's the same way now here still, too. But and where you're at now, there's, what, you mentioned 7, 8 different teams within one city there. How else do you feel like the game has changed? There's all sorts of different ways in which things have gone, well, and some would say for the better or for the worse with basketball. Is there anything you feel like kids playing at the high school level now are kind of missing out on in comparison to what you guys did?
You know, I got, when I started picking up and watching some more local high school basketball, it's probably been in the better part of the last 5 or 6 years. And I'll tell you what, I was shocked when I walked in and sat down, and that first one, now I attend quite a few of them, and was watching them going, oh my goodness, these guys come down, and if there's any daylight, man, that shot's going up. And it doesn't matter if they're the worst shooting person on the court for their team. And, I mean, and they're chucking up threes, and I'm going, oh, man, coach would have benched us for that, man. I mean, it was like every shot. We worked hard for every shot, and that shot had to be the right shot. And if it's the wrong person taking the wrong shot, oh, man, that's not good. I mean, it just, you know, I mean, you worked for the shot. You know, if you had a good open shot and it was right, you took it. But, I mean, oh, my gosh, they're coming down. Like I said, the game is so much faster, up-tempo, up and down the court, shots going up. it's changed a lot. I mean, like, I played before there was even a three-point line, right? So that really has changed a bunch. I don't know that I see every possession being as cherished as it was when we played. I don't think the defense mentality and intensity as a whole is what it was when we were playing. You know, I mean, these kids are so much better athletes, and the game is so much faster, and everything, every aspect about it is truly a fun game to watch. Don't get me wrong. I think getting the shot clock on and getting rid of Dean Smith's four corner stalls and wearing 4 or 5 minutes off on a possession is all right. It got kind of boring to watch that, so it's kind of nice that that's gone. 3-point line, I go back and forth with. It bothers me from the standpoint when I go out and I'm watching or coaching or being involved with little kids that are, you know, third grade that can't step up and shoot a 15-foot free throw, but they're going to be out there throwing up their 3-point shots and trying them, you know, and developing some bad form while doing that. You know what I mean? Just to get the ball, trying to get it to the hoop, stuff like that. So I don't know. I go back and forth on the 3-point. Yes, it makes it exciting, but not sure about it. You know, the mid-range jumper is all but gone. I mean, it's pretty much either you've got to find a way to get to the hole and get fouled and finish, or shoot free throws, or be able to shoot three-pointers. That's kind of, you know, that's a lot of part of the game now.
I guess in the same kind of vein, is there any advice you would give to a high school player now, just coming up or getting ready to get in that varsity experience, to try and make sure that they get the most out of that experience?
You know, to be the consummate teammate, I mean, be that person there for your friends and your teammates when they're down and when they're up, because there's going to be times when you're definitely down and you need somebody there too. And don't ever give up on your teammate. Get them involved. And, you know, because, you know, you can't do this stuff alone. I mean, you're going through now, what do? We just finished 4 episodes now with The Last Dance, the whole Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls documentary. And when they showed that, when Phil Jackson was able to show Michael that, you know, you're quite the guy, but, you know, you need these people. And they just went through that deal with the John Paxson deal. And, my God, he started to find John Paxson in that last quarter of that game. And Paxson knocked him down, and they won. And so, I mean, that you've got to work hard. You have to work hard. And because I'll tell you what, if you're not, that other kid across town is. And he's going to take your spot, or when you meet him on the court, he's going to beat you. And so you need to be at it, and you can't quit. Don't ever quit. And like I said, be a teammate, man. Be a teammate.
Jeff Dress joining us here on KATE 1450. Jeff, before we let you go, we've been asking this question to everybody before they leave, just with everyone having to stay inside and all that. What's your recommendation on a sports, either movie, book, TV show, documentary, like The Last Dance you mentioned, something people can do when they've got nothing to do and are just twiddling their thumbs at home?
Wow. Well, with the internet, and I'm not a techie guy, there's a lot of stuff out there, but obviously this Last Dance, I mean, that was, you know, my deal. And of course, I brought my kids up knowing them and telling them that, you know, MJ is the man. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's LeBron and Kobe and them, they're incredible players, and you can't forget the guys like, you know, Chamberlain and Russell and Bird and all them. I mean, don't get me wrong, Magic, but MJ's the man. And I mean, this documentary, I am loving life. I sit down for 2 hours and I watch that. I've got them all recorded. I don't know how many times I'm going to watch them again. But you know, the era as far as basketball goes of the 80s when it was Bird and Magic, incredible. It took the NBA to a whole another new level, without a question. And then Jordan, you know, Bulls is in there in the 90s, and, you know, the NBA is made. I mean, those you know, those two decades were incredible, and those games were fun. And that was, an incredibly physical, intense time and fun stuff. So I'm loving all that stuff. But like I said, you can get on the internet and you can find a lot of stuff, and I don't care if it's old Masters or old golf or if it's these old boxing matches or whatever, but there's a lot of stuff out there to get involved with and I guess take up some of the slack time that people have at this point in time right now.
Yeah, it is a whole lot of fun, and of course Last Dance has been outstanding so far, and it's going to be even better going forward too. Jeff Dress joining us here on KATE 1450, talking about his sports story and also just the things that he's been able to take away from his time and experiences in sports as well. Jeff, thanks again for joining us to talk a little bit over the phone and tell us your story here on Kate Radio. It's been a whole lot of fun just going over everything with you and everybody else, and hopefully we can talk again in the future at some point as well.
Sounds great, Nate. I really appreciate the call and the chance to be able to share that because it was a great time in my life and gave me lifelong experiences and stuff I'll never forget.